Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him upon a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, Get thee thence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. We know that God will bless the reading of his truth. Started a little series a couple of weeks ago entitled Learning Lessons from the Life of Our Lord. Who better to learn lessons from as far as Christian living is concerned? The spotless, holy Son of God. We read that he hath left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And so that's what we want to do over the next few months, to learn lessons from the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pointed out in the first study that he himself did not come into being just at Bethlehem, because he is the eternal Son. He was in the bosom of the Father before the foundation of the world. He's the second person of the Trinity, the Godhead. But God sent his Son to this world and veiled him in human flesh that he might dwell amongst us. And so his life as a human began at Bethlehem. And the Gospels record that. We read in the Gospels of his birth. Then we read that 8 days later he was circumcised. We don't hear anything more until he's 12 years of age, when he came with his parents to the temple at Jerusalem. And then the next we hear is another 18 years when he came to be baptized by John in the Jordan. That was when he was 30 years of age. And it's from that spot that we want to look at the life of our Lord. In the last message, we looked at the baptism of Christ in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And when he stepped into his earthly ministry, his baptism indicated that he was going to fulfill all righteousness. The baptism of John was a greater picture of that greater baptism that lay ahead of him at the cross. He was declaring that he had come to fulfill the Father's will, that he would come to step into death and be buried and to rise again. Immediately after his baptism, we find that the Spirit took him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And this is another important point in the Savior's life. Someone has said that he met the worst of enemies, the devil, in the worst of places, the wilderness, under the worst of circumstances, when he was hungry. And we find here that he triumphed over the tempter, in the trial of temptation. Remember, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and it was then the tempter came. And there's important lessons for us to learn, because each one of us will have to face the tempter. Temptation is something that's relevant to you and me this morning. First of all, because we've all experienced it. We have all been tempted. And let me tell you this, that we'll experience it again, and we may experience it even before this day is done. And throughout the week, we'll know all about temptation. And so we want to look at three things this morning concerning the Savior's temptation in the wilderness. We want to look at the source of temptation. We want to think secondly about the severity of his temptation. And then thirdly, the success over temptation. First of all, the source. The word which helps us to explain temptation is the word entice. Temptation is being enticed to do something, to say something, or to take something, etc. And of course, the one who tempted the Lord Jesus, the one who enticed him, was the devil. That's what verse 1 says. To be tempted of the devil. He's referred to as the tempter in verse 3. Again in verse 5 and 8, he's referred to as the devil. And in verse 10, he's referred to as Satan. So there's no doubt about where this temptation came from. One of the names given to Satan is the tempter. And he certainly lives up to his name. He's the one who tempted Adam and Eve in the garden. He's the one who tempted Christ in the wilderness. And he is the one who will tempt you and me, the devil. James makes it absolutely clear that God tempts no man. So the source of this temptation was the devil. Some questions have been asked about temptation. Some people have asked, could Christ have sinned? Well, remember that the Lord Jesus is both human and divine. But he is one person. He is God, the eternal Son. And as man here upon earth, he could not act apart from his deity. So as the God-man, he could not sin. That's what I believe anyway. You may differ, but that's what I believe. My dear friends, the source of temptation is the devil, and that's why we believers need to think about this thing and take this seriously. We need to remember what Peter said. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, be on the lookout, be on the alert, be on your toes, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is on the move. He's on the rampage. We just need to look around us. We need to look at the things that happen from day to day, and we see the devil's hand in so many things. And that's why we need to remember that we're in a spiritual battle, and part of this battle we'll have to face the battle against temptation. So we see here the source of temptation, and I don't think there's any argument about that today. Now that brings me to the severity. The devil is a subtle foe. My Paul talks about him, about the wiles of the devil. You remember when he wrote that letter to the Ephesians, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles, it can be translated by the word schemes, or by the word devices, or by the snares or the traps that the devil leaves. Man goes out to hunt in the field for animals or for birds, And he lays a snare. He lays a trap. He doesn't leave it in the open field. He camouflages it. He covers it over. He puts branches and leaves across it so that the unsuspecting animal doesn't realize the danger that exists. And he comes along, whatever the animal is, and before it knows, the snare is triggered and it's caught. And the devil is a subtle fool. He leaves his snares and he leaves his traps. And we need to be sober and vigilant lest we fall into them. We need to be aware of the subtlety and the snares of the evil one. We find here, he came and attacked Christ when he was at his very weakest. It says when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. Satan will attack you when you're at your weakest point. Maybe you've been sick. Maybe you've been depressed or disappointed. You're feeling down. You're at a low ebb. And he will put maybe thoughts in your mind and doubts in your mind. And he'll attack you when you're off your guard. Everything's going well. And you're on the crest of the wave, it would seem, as far as your spiritual life is concerned. That's then you need to be on your most alert, because then the devil will come. The Lord Jesus suffered being tempted. Sometimes people enjoy temptation. You know, you only suffer by resisting it. And as we look at the tempter coming against Christ, we find that the temptation was threefold. He made an appeal to the body, to the soul, and to the spirit. Made an appeal which involved the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In fact, all temptation appeals to these three areas. It was the way in which Eve was tempted in the garden. You remember, we read in Genesis 3:6 that she saw the fruit of the tree was good for food. That was an appeal to the flesh. That it was pleasant to the eye. She was attracted by it. It was desired to make one wise. It was an appeal to spiritual pride. The devil made this three-pronged attack against the Lord Jesus Christ when he tempted him in the wilderness. Let's look at the temptations as they come before us here in the passage. You find the first temptation in verses 2 to 4. It says, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You know, in his hour of physical weakness and hunger, the devil tempted him with bread. He had been fasting in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. You can imagine what it would be like if you'd been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And it was then that Satan came and he said to Jesus, you see them stones? You could make them bread. He says, aren't you the Son of God? Well, you could change those stones into bread. And of course, to have yielded to that would have been to accept a suggestion from Satan and take himself outside the will of God. In verse 4, Jesus answered and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, friends, it's not God's way or God's will to make bread out of stones. God has given us different things to make bread with. He's given us wheat, which becomes flour. But it's not God's way or God's will to make bread out of stones. And the devil was suggesting and making this suggesting to the Lord Jesus. And what he was saying to him was just simply this. You can make things easy for yourself. All you have to do is make bread from these stones. To do it, you may have to step outside God's will for a moment or two and God's way. But you can make things easy for yourself. And you know, as we go through life, we see ways, and we're told of ways, in which we can make things easy for ourselves. But if it's not within keeping of God's word, then, friends, it's sin. You know, sometimes it's easier to get through life telling lies than telling the truth. You see, boys, and they make things easy for themselves. They get all the benefits, all this and all that, by telling lies. Maybe you're asked to fill in a form, maybe an application form, and there's a question in that form, and you know that if you fill in that question honestly, it'll greatly decrease your chances of getting that job. And the devil comes along and he whispers in your ear, you know, you can make things easy for yourself. Sometimes we find that people can get away by doing wrong instead of doing right, but that's not God's way. And the devil comes to tempt us in these subtle ways as we go through life. That's the first temptation. We see the second temptation in verse 5 through 7. It says, then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, says to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. And here's Satan, and he's actually quoting scripture. The devil knows the word of God. He says, it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And the temptation was an appeal to the natural heart. He says to him, here's how you can prove above anything else that you're Messiah. Cast yourself down and God will give his angels charge over thee. And here's the devil quoting from Psalm 91 verse 11 and 12 in order to try to get Christ to step outside the will of God. Dear friends, he tried to use the scripture to his own ends, to further his own ends. Try to use the scripture. People today are looking for sensational things. They're looking for their emotions to be stirred. You need to be careful lest some of these sensational happenings and these emotional going on hasn't the devil's hand upon it. Jesus says to him here, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We hear people saying, you know, we need to put God to the test. We're not to put God to the test. We're to trust God. We're to trust God. The devil will appeal to the pride of the natural man. Pride wants to be seen. Pride wants to be heard. Pride wants to be on the top. Pride wants to have the preeminence. Pride is never wrong. The second temptation was an attack against the soul. Third temptation we find in verse 8 through 10. Then the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. The third temptation was the lust of the eye. Devil takes him up and shows him the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. He says, listen, all these will I give you if you'll fall down and worship me. You see, Satan has always wanted to be like God. My way there when he was the anointed cherub that covereth, he wanted to put God of his throne. He always has wanted to be like God. He wants us to fall down and worship him. And he's offering Christ here a shortcut to world dominion. He says, I'll give you the kingdom without the cross. All you need to do is fall down and worship me. Jesus says, I'll get the kingdom and the glory another way. I'll get it through the cross. But the thing I want you to see here in this third temptation is that this temptation was an appeal to the lust of the eyes. And the devil tempts us on so many occasions through the eye gate. Through the eye gate. The things that come before our eyes. There's a number of examples of this. You remember Eve in the garden, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eye. Remember in the book of Joshua, we read of Achan. And Achan saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold. And he went and he took them. And he hid them in his tent. Remember in 2 Samuel we read of David, the king. And as he walked upon his roof of his house, it says he saw a woman washing herself. And she was beautiful. My, he wanted her. And he sent men to take her so that he could have her. This is temptation, friends. Eve was tempted by food. Achan was tempted by fashion and finance. David was tempted by flesh. And there's so many temptations that the devil brings to us through our eyes. Many a one has been overcome the way David was. Saw Bathsheba washing herself. And we live in a fashion-conscious world that's looking for the flesh. I remember when I was in Port Rush, there was two nightclubs in Port Rush. There was Kelly's out at the Gulf Links London, and there was Tracks right in the middle of the town. And on occasions when I needed to be out late at night or at the time that these things were going on, I could see many of the young people going to the nightclubs. And friends, I have to say this to you this morning. A whole lot of them hadn't very much on. My, are we dressing in a way that's pleasing to God? Or in a way that's bringing temptation before people? I haven't come here today to tell people how to dress. But I'm just asking that question. Are we dressing in a way that's pleasing to God? Are we dressing in a way that's bringing temptation? There are so many temptations that Satan can bring through your eyes. That's why we need to be careful what we see and what we watch. And I would suggest to you this morning that the days of taking the kids and setting them in front of the television and turning it on and leaving them there to watch it while you go and do your housework is gone. You need to be careful today what your children are watching on the television. You need to be careful about the games they're playing on the computer. Need to be careful about these things. Not trying to take away the fun. Not a bit of it. just saying there needs to be that sense that Satan uses the eye gate, and people see things, and young people see things, and children see things. Christ's temptation was severe. Came from every part of his person, body, soul, and spirit. Now that brings me to success over temptation. My time's almost gone, but I'll be as quick as I possibly can. We find that Satan came against the Lord here and from these three different angles, and Christ triumphed over he triumphed over temptation. And of course, we will be tempted, and we want to triumph over temptation. We want to be overcomers instead of being overcome. We want to be able to defeat the devil when he comes to tempt us. Instead of being defeated, we want to know how to gain victory in the hour or in the trial of temptation. And you know, friends, we can be victorious. And we can gain the victory when temptation comes from whatever angle it comes or from wherever it comes. We can be victorious by the word of God. Each time Satan tempted Christ, he answered him from the scriptures. In the first temptation, Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Second temptation, when he told him to go up to the temple, cast himself down, again the Lord Jesus says to him, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And he's quoting him from Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. And in the third temptation, again, he quotes the scriptures. Jesus said unto him, "Get thee thence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And on the three different occasions, he quotes to him from the word of God. The third, he quotes from Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. From three portions of Deuteronomy, Jesus takes a portion of scripture and he hits the devil with it. And it says in verse 11, "Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him." My, the Lord won the victory through the word of God. Through the word of God. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." That's why it's important to know the word of God. You see, friends, if you don't know the word, the Spirit can't use the word. That's why we need to learn the word of God. We need to hide it in our heart. Do you remember that David, as a young lad, he took a sling and a stone and he hit Goliath right between the eyes with it and slew him. And then he took Goliath's sword and cut off his head. And they took Goliath's sword and they wrapped it up and put it in a place where it could be used again when needed. And it says here in 1 Samuel 21 and verse 9, when David came and asked for the sword, it says, "And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Eli, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here." And David said, "There is none like that. Give it me." David said, "There's none like that. That sword, there's none like it. Give it me." And dear friends, God has given you a weapon this morning. It's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul talks about it. There's it there. My, that's your sword this morning. And I want to tell you this, there's none like it. There's no book like it. And through that book, the Spirit of God can give you portions of the Word of God to help you to face the devil and to defeat the devil. We can be triumphant through the Word of God. We can be triumphant by coming to the throne of God. Paul says, let us come boldly onto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm sure a severe attack of temptation is a time of need. And dear friends, we need to get down on our knees and we need to say, Lord, I'm being tempted. I'm being tempted by the devil. It's a fear. Would you help me? Would you give me strength? Would you give me grace to help me through this terrible trial of temptation? And my, we can find success over temptation by the Word of God and by coming to the throne of God. And we can find success in temptation by turning to the Son of God. Read in Hebrews chapter 2 about our great high priest. And it says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted. He suffered being tempted. He's able to succor them that are tempted. He was tempted. We've been reading about it this morning. He knows about it. He's able to succor them that are tempted. I think I said the other Sunday morning, that word succor means to come alongside and give help. My dear friends, Jesus experienced temptation. He's able to come alongside you this morning and help you when you're tempted. When the disciples were in the boat and my, they realized they were defeated, they came to him. Temptation, it's relevant to each one of us. We'll all be tempted. Satan is a subtle foe. Thank God, God has not left us undefended. Thank God that we can have victory this morning and tomorrow and the next day through the Word of God, by coming to the throne of God, and by leaning on the Son of God. May God help us. And days when the tempter's about his work, that we might be more than conqueror through him that loved us. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning.